Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from one of our favorite places, a Schnucks location. We are at Gravoy Bluffs. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. Martin will be here at 11. Charlie at 12. Earl Austin Jr. will join us at 10:30 over the phone. There's nothing like going to a Schnucks around the holiday time. It's very festive. We are broadcasting right outside the delicatessen area where they have the rotisserie chickens and the party trays and all those great meats. There's nothing like a Schnucks bakery, too. So come on by and say hello. We are here till 1 o'clock. If you'd like to be a part of the program, Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Last night at the KFNS party, Lonnie Folks, their fine athletic director, stopped by for a visit. He's one of the best in the business. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that school. We also have the Winning Streak text line at 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. The managers here are Joe Schaefer and Earl Jones. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. So the winter meetings will end without much activity from the Cardinals. But a week ago, they did just fine. Let's face it. There were, you know, three dynamic face-of-the-franchise players available this offseason. And the Cardinals got one of them. Now, to make it a great deal, Paul Goldschmidt has to stay a while. Everybody knows that. Bill DeWitt has the money to keep him. John Mozeliak is smart enough to surround him with enough talent to win. And his manager, Mike Schilt, well, He gushed about Goldschmidt yesterday in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the impact residual is the word that initially came to mind. And when we were talking, and I was privy to some of the conversation with Mo and Gersh and the front office about the possibility of acquiring Goldie. And any time I described him, I just talked about residual benefit. And the more I get to know him and then do research on him and talk to people, again, I trust in the industry and people that played with him, you know, this guy's going to bring it and make everybody around him better. And that's, you know, he's a special talent in and of his own. You know, offensively, he's clearly a proven commodity that can hit and anchor an offense and lengthen the offense out and again, make people around him better. And, you know, you got a game plan for him, and then you got a game plan around him for other guys that it's going to increase their opportunities. So, but also, you know, and to expand a little bit, his defense is probably the thing that I, when we talked about him, would bring up the most, and we clearly know what we're getting offensively, and that's a huge bat and a huge add. But if you look at where we were defensively last year and where we're looking to go, he helped shore up a team that and now puts, you know, six Gold Glove candidates on the field.
Yes, I think Mr. Schilt is considering Marcell Ozuna a Gold Glove candidate, and technically he did win one, but as we saw last year, didn't exactly look like a Gold Glover. So let's just say that's one. Bader is a candidate, that's two. Wong is a candidate, that's three. Goldschmidt is a winner, that's four. Yadier Molina is five. And then he went on to mention he thinks that Paul DeJong has a chance to be a Gold Glover at short. I'm not sure about that, but I do think that his defense got much better last season. I think the big question with Goldschmidt is where do you hit him? The Cardinals look like they're committed to hitting Marcell Ozuna fourth, and there's talk about Goldschmidt hitting second or third. Boy, I would think, you know, he is the ideal number three hitter. I mean, I just think you put him in that three spot And then, you know, you check in 600 at-bats later. I mean, he is the prototypical number three hitter. So the question is, what do you do at the two spot? Brian, you can put yourself on. Now, can you expect Dexter Fowler to reemerge as an on-base machine? And at one time, Dexter did get on base a lot. Or do you like Yadier Molina in that two spot? And Yadier has hit there over the winter, too. I'm not sure. I don't know if Bader hits enough to rationalize two, if Wong gets on base enough. What do you think, Brian?
I think they lean towards Dexter Fowler just because obviously they're hoping, assuming they don't make another big splash, that he returns to his high on-base form. And if that's the case, you have two guys at the top of the order who have a really good typical career on-base percentage before the guys like Goldschmidt and Ozuna to bring him in. Plus, Fowler is faster than Molina. I think they're going to want to try to maybe maximize speed at the top as well.
I'd have no problem with Dexter getting first shot at that number two slot.
Now, that being said, if you sign Harper, Goldschmidt bats second.
Brian's still holding out hope for Harper. All right, lap two. If you have listened to this program the last 2 years, you know of my affection for Jose Martinez. Can you name me a Cardinal who in the last 2 years has hit 300 with on-base percentages of 360 and higher and slugging 450 and higher the last 2 years? The answer is you can't, because he's the only one. I mean, the guy's been a 300 hitter for two consecutive years with power. Here's the thing about Jose, too. He could be the best at his profession, the best at his profession in his role as a pinch hitter. He's the name being discussed in a trade. And, you know, let's face it, when you don't make the playoffs for three straight years, everybody should be available at the right price. But there are a lot of worse things in the world than having this man off your bench next season. The commish on Jose Martinez.
I'm afraid they're going to try to move him, but I would not like to see that happen. I'd play him in right field. You know, he doesn't need to play nine innings out there. They do have to have a left-handed hitter on the bench. So when you consider the fact they're probably, you have to account for each bench guy, you're going to have an extra catcher. Munoz is going to be a bench guy. You have another outfielder, whether it's Fowler or O'Neill, so that's three. And if you have, you know, 13 pitchers, you really only have four spots. If you have 12 pitchers, you have five spots. And Jerko or Martinez might be the guys going for one spot. Now, which guy does you the most good? Jerko is a pretty valuable guy, too. But they have got a slot of left. They cannot go into the offseason with four right-handed hitters. Let's say it's O'Neill, Jerko, Munoz, and the catcher. You can't not have a left-handed hitter be in there. So one of those guys will have to go for that reason. Who does him more good, Martinez or Jerko? That's a tough call. I would think Martinez is more valuable because he's the better hitter.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, they did talk to the Giants about Martinez for Jose Martinez, I mean, for Will Smith. And I'm not sure if Jose is a good mix in that Giants outfield with that stadium. The Dodgers have quite a few lefties in their bullpen. It's interesting because there has been some movement with some pitchers, relief pitchers, in the last 24 hours. Joe Kelly signed with the Dodgers. But I don't think there's been a lefty move yet. So something should get done, I think, by Friday in terms of reliever. Stay tuned. Or maybe the Zach Britton thing will wait a little bit longer. I think he's going to really make big money. How about Lance Lynn getting $30 million from the Rangers? Not bad for a guy who won 10 games and had an ERA of close to 5 last season. But his overall body work is pretty good. So what would be your next Cardinal move? I say you call Scott Boras and you work on Zach Britton. Interesting, it's kind of quiet with Harper and Machado as we speak. Lap three. So they used to say about Reggie Jackson, he could start a fight in an empty room. Tony La Russa is not quite as controversial, but he does stir it up. He really does. I mean, just think of all the arguments and spats and battles he had here in St. Louis. Let's see if we can count the names. Let's see. Ozzy would be one. Jeff Brantley would be two. Ron Gant would be three. Steve Klein would be four. Who am I leaving out here?
At times, he and Edmonds didn't get along.
Oh, Roland.
Yeah.
Five. I don't know if I'd say Edmonds, but there was times, yeah.
Not.
That's six.
Yeah. That's a pretty good list.
Yeah, it is. And so yesterday, or not yesterday, a few days ago, he was defending Baines' selection to the Hall of Fame. Now, keep in mind, even Harold Baines acknowledged that it helped that Jerry Reinsdorf and La Russa were on that special committee that voted him in. But Tony took exception with MLB host Chris Mad Dog Russo.
You put in a Hall of Fame that everybody in America thinks is not a Hall of Famer. That's going to make people think
there's a lot of,
trust me. I deal with them all the time. Most people think this is a bad.
You know what would be good? I would love to get into a legitimate confrontation debate where we pull out the stuff that we looked at and you tell me that weak ass superficial bullshit. You look at, I guarantee you.
You think he's a better player than Steve Garvey? He's not a better player than Garvey.
I'm not saying he's better than Steve Garvey. Should be there too, then. Harold Baines is a Hall of Famer, and it's a shame that now he's being looked at as not right.
And then he said to Mad Dog, and I don't know the actual tone of this. It may have been joking, but he said, "I used to watch you because I thought you knew the game. I'm going to start calling you Clueless." I don't know if he said it in a really mean-spirited way because they probably have a decent rapport. But, I mean, La Russa would always say stuff like that to me, or, you know, he would always take shots. Yeah. One time I interviewed him at Ralston – at Purina just about I think it was last year. And then we did some questions at the end, some quick questions. And at the end he goes, man, those questions are really good. Did you hire somebody new? He went on to say that the people that knew the Harold best were his teammates and guys who saw him every day. And Brian brought this up the other day. The key for Ted Simmons, because it's not like Ted Simmons is going to get any base hits between now and next December. The key for Ted Simmons is who is on that committee. You know? Is Whitey on that committee? And I think Whitey would be loyal to the St. Louis, and even though he traded Ted Simmons. He wanted to play Daryl Porter behind the plate. But I think Whitey would vote for Ted. Is the commish going to be on it? Is Joe Torre going to be on it? Is Ozzie going to be on it? Is Bob Gibson going to be on it? I mean, hopefully there'll be some type of St. Louis or even maybe Milwaukee flavor on that committee for Ted Simmons' sake. He belongs, but the committee is key for him. All right, lap four. Couple of television items. The 30 for 30 on Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson is appointment television. It's called 42-1, meaning Douglas was a 42-1 underdog that night when he stepped in the ring in Tokyo against Iron Mike. Let's face it, Buster Douglas was generally looked upon as a soft fighter, an underachiever. There was one fight against Tony Tucker, where he literally gave up. It wasn't quite as dramatic as no mas with Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard, but he literally quit in the middle of a fight. Then, before the Tyson fight, his mother, who he was extremely close to, and his mother, who really got a good look at Tyson and tried to tell Buster, don't fight him, but she saw the way Buster had been training, and she had a vision that Buster was going to beat Mike Tyson. And she told everybody at work, my son's going to beat Mike Tyson. And he trained like a madman. Now, let's face it. Buster Douglas will never be accused for an apostle of fitness, okay? This guy did not have one of these ripped bodies. But he got himself into the best shape of his career. Then a couple of weeks before the fight, his mother, the love of his life, suddenly died of a stroke. And his manager wanted to postpone the fight. But what Buster did was he got more motivated. He went to Tokyo with a heavy heart, but locked in like he's never been before. You have to remember, for our younger audience, Tyson was invincible. Ask Marvis Frazier. Ask Michael Spinks. Nobody was more frightening. I'm not saying Tyson's the greatest heavyweight of all time. I am saying when he was at his best, he was the most intimidating heavyweight of all time, even more so than George Foreman. But in the ring that night, Douglas shocked the world.
Buster's legs actually look fresher to me. See Mike the way he went back in his heels, doesn't have the good balance. His legs together as Buster's landing these.
Oh, nice uppercut by Buster Douglas. Look at this. He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career. Mike Tyson hits the canvas. He's in big trouble. He may not be able to recover. It's up to seven and eight. He's not going to make it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable! Buster Douglas is the new heavyweight champion of the world!
Wow. You know what he did after that? Put on some weight. Had a few more fights. Lost some fights. He's back in Columbus now. He's happy. He's training fighters. Seems like a content individual, but what a story that was. If you get a chance, you got to check it out. All right, so lap five. I've had to spend a little time at home the last couple of days, so I've watched a little bit of TV, more than I normally would watch. And I'm watching the, I've never seen it before, but it's with, it's the Ty Cobb story. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know this one.
What's the actor Jones?
James Earl Jones?
No, Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones plays the part of Ty Cobb. And I wanted to bring this up because there's two that jump out at me, the craziest sports deaths of all time. So Ty Cobb, his dad's a successful guy, and they live in a nice house in Georgia. He's well off. And his dad is suspecting that his wife is cheating on him. So he tells his wife that he is going away on a sales trip. He'll be back in a couple of days. So he leaves, and then he, like, camps out in their yard, and he comes back up, and he walks up the steps to catch his wife red-handed. And so they think that it's an the wife thinks there's an intruder. So they get out a gun, and they kill his dad. Now, you're under the impression that there was no cheating going on, and that she was just alarmed that there was an intruder. But Ty Cobb later said that there was a man inside that bedroom, and he actually shot his dad.
Wow.
Okay, now you think that's good. This is even better.
I'd never heard this story.
Yeah, spectacular. Then we have Barry Switzer, bootlegger's boy. So Switzer's dad is having has a mistress, and Switzer's dad is cheating on the mistress. So the mistress shows up at the new girlfriend's place, and she's so mad that she shoots Mr. Switzer. And then she feels guilty because he's got a bullet in him and he's bleeding. So she picks him up and brings him to her car because she wants to save his life and get him to the hospital. So she's driving as fast as she can to get him to the hospital, and they have a car accident, and they both die.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is the same Barry Switzer who, when he was maybe 18 to 19, his mom was a raging alcoholic, came into his room one night and said, you know, started to talk to him, and she smelled of alcohol. And he said something like, you know, I'm disgusted with you. I'd rather not see you again and you be sober than to have to see you like this. 5 minutes later, she walks into her room and shoots herself in the head.
Oh, man.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
Crazy sports deaths.
Right.
Lap six. Stream of Consciousness. Another show you must watch, Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. A lawyer with some alcohol issues, but somehow lovable, and you root for him. The characters are all mesmerizing, including William Hurt. They just got word that there's going to be a third season. I'm midway through season one. Can't get enough of Goliath. Hey, I also watch the Pat Summerall football life, too. Amazing, his life. He was a carouser who blew off his family for a long time and had horrible drinking issues, but he figured it out at the end of his life and never had another drink. He became an on-fire Christian who did nothing but try to help others. At the end, he shared his story with everybody and anybody who would listen. I remember interviewing Pat Summerall maybe about 6 or 7 years ago at a FCA function in St. Charles. Could not have been nicer. Hey, did you see where Shaq said his championship Laker teams would have easily beat these Warriors? You know, I got to tell you something. I thought about this long and hard last night. That version of Shaq, where he went to three finals and won three finals MVPs, and he was in relatively good shape, and that version of a young Kobe, if you played the Warriors, I think those two probably would be the best players on the floor. And the two with the most, this is most important, the most will to win. I mean, say what you will about Kobe, but he was an assassin. And say what you will about Shaq, those years he was really, really motivated. I don't think it would have been easy, like Shaq says. Because let's face it, the Warriors have four stars, and the Lakers had two. But the Lakers had good role players, you know, the Rick Foxes and the Robert Ories. But I do think the Shaq and Kobe team would have found a way to win. What do you think about that? Winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Let's see what else here. Oh, semifinal action in fantasy football. One season hinges on a couple of moves I made last night. Derrick Henry coming off my bench to replace Peyton Barber, who replaced Kareem Hunt. We believe that Derrick Henry has another big week in him. And we're also going to start the Texans defense on the road against the Jets as opposed to the Bears at home against Green Bay. What a dramatic weekend of football coming up for the Stallions. Those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. The offense for the Cardinals, it looks set. Did you hear what John Mozeliak and the crew did last night? They went to Dexter Fowler's house for a little dinner. I wonder if Dexter actually, like, barbecued outside or what he did. I think Dexter Fowler is going to be your starter next season in right field. Does it make sense to bat Dexter second? I think Paul Goldschmidt's got to bat third. Who do you want in that bullpen? And has there ever been a bigger upset? I'd love to get your take on this. Has there ever been a bigger upset in sports history than Douglas Tyson? Who else would be up there, Jim? I thought about NC State and Houston.
That's a good one.
Joe Namath against the Colts. Actually, the Patriots beating the Rams.
That's a huge
turf.
One. Yeah. We don't like to bring it up, but it is. Obviously, the Miracle on Ice thing is always right there. But
oh, yeah. That would be right there. In fact, that may even replace Tyson.
But even the Douglas Tyson one, I don't think anything else in boxing even comes close to that.
All right, we're broadcasting live at the Schnucks, Gravois Bluffs. Joe Schaefer and Earl Jones are the managers. They have the chocolate milk stout gooey butter cake, baked fresh in store. I imagine that's what we're looking at right now there,
Jim.
It is. Save me just a bite. Deli offers a great $6 meal deal that includes entrees and two sides for $6. That blows away Subway. And you know this meat's going to be better, too.
Absolutely.
Boar's Head meat and cheese, along with their other offerings, just arrived a week ago. Wow, that sounds great. Seafood is huge this time of year and great specials for the holidays. All the seafood can be cooked for free with great marinades and dry seasonings. Yeah, you see those sauces up there? They had that honey mustard, and then they also had that chipotle. I have all three of those at home, and they had that olive oil. What is that? It is really good on sandwiches. So stop by, say hello. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. Schnucks is one of our favorite places to be. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by the awesome one, Earl Austin Jr.